Have you ever been working really, really hard on a project or maybe a teaching? Maybe it's like a video that you're putting together to use somewhere in the ministry. And about halfway through, the thought crosses your mind, what exactly am I building here? Not exactly like I'm building a video or something like that, but like, what is the point of me doing this? Is this more for building the ministry or is this more for building our brand? I think in our current culture, those two things have kind of blurred together. A lot of churches, pastors, and teams see ministry and brand as almost the same thing, at least on the same playing level. And I mean, the truth is that I've been there before. I've made that mistake. Although when it happened, I didn't see it as a mistake. It wasn't until later, looking back, that I realized the mistake that I was making by sacrificing sometimes my ministry for the sake of the brand. That's the sneaky thing about it, is that when it's happening, you don't realize what you're setting yourself up for. And that's what I want to unpack today. The difference between a church that is trying to influence and a church that is trying to be an influencer. I'm Josh, and this is Beyond the Numbers. Let's dive in. Now, with that intro, you're waiting for me to throw some stones, but I gotta be honest with you. I'm throwing stones from inside of a glass house of my own. See, many years ago, I had a message that I preached, and someone grabbed a clip from that message and posted it online. I thought, oh, that's great. It's awesome that something from that message stood out to them. And then I saw how someone else had posted and shared it. And then next thing you know, that one message, that one piece had 100 views. Not bad. And then I checked again and it was up to 600 views. Now, for some of you, you're like, 600 views is nothing. I do a video of me sneezing and I get like 1,000 views. But for me, 600 views, that was a whole new ballpark for me. I'd never experienced anything like that. And for me, it built a level of excitement because I was like, man, this was a gospel-centered message that is actually being shared by others, and it's going out there and the gospel is reaching others. That's amazing. And then I worked on one of our youth videos, a recap of just one of the events that we did, and put it up on our Instagram. 1,500 views. Again, I was like, that is so amazing. I mean, if I'm being honest, my heart with that was, people are seeing what our youth ministry is doing. They're seeing the excitement. Other students are going to see this, get excited, and want to be a part of this. This is helping to spread the gospel and the message. And so I created another video. Checked out the view count. 33 views. If I'm being honest, going from 1,500 views to the very next one having 33 views, there was a level of disappointment that hit me. What did I do wrong? Like, why didn't this get the views that it should? And so I was like, okay, well, what do I got to do differently? So I started reworking and looking and figuring out, okay, maybe what are some of the trending things? What are some of the hashtags that I need to add or different things like that? And how can I get my next video to hit 500? And then when I got that video to hit 500 views, how can I get the next one to hit 1,000 and then 5,000? And what I didn't notice was there was a shift that started to happen within me. And suddenly, it became not about how can I reach others with the gospel of Christ, but how can I get more clicks? How can I get more views? How can myself, the brand, the youth ministry, our name, get out there more? Not to people within our community, but just to build our platform for the sake of building it. The goal became, how can I get more views? Not how many more people can I reach for the gospel? At no point did I ever stop preaching the truth. But there was a season where more than anything, my rush, my challenge, my focus became on the dopamine hit that came from garnering views and for people noticing me and what I was building, instead of it being about the joy that comes from being obedient with Christ. John 17, 14 through 16 is this powerful set of scriptures where Jesus is telling us that we are not of this world. And then he goes a step further and actually says that the world will hate us because of him. I mean, the gospel itself is powerful. It is life-changing. It is transformative, but it's also divisive. It's also disruptive, as truth often is in the face of so many lies. And yet we have that scripture and what Jesus is saying there, and then we look at the modern day church. And while I'm not saying this is every church, we have a lot of churches now where the pastors, the leaders, the messages, the teaching, the discipleship has gone from truth bearing to more than anything being brand managers. I mean, I've been there before where I've seen a pastor getting upset because the light wasn't hitting him just right and bringing out all the different things that he wanted to on the stage. I've also been there before where I got called out because the clothing that I was wearing wasn't on brand, name brand, for what the audience that the church was trying to focus the video on. Not that I was or wasn't wearing a suit. I understand like dress codes and different things like that. But I'm saying the actual name brand on the tag wasn't matching the name brand that they were trying to really reach when it comes to the audience that this message or the teaching or the video was being broadcast to. Point taken, I had to dress on brand. Same thing with social media. Not that my social media wasn't matching up to doctrinal things or being a Christian influencer or anything like that. Not that. No, it was all about what is the audience that we're trying to reach? And is your Instagram, is your Facebook, is your social feeds matching that audience that we're trying to get? Mind you, my personal social media. I mean, we have pastors that spend so much money just on having cars and outfits that are relevant to the people that they're trying to reach. They're trying to attain a status sometimes more than anything else. We've built teams that their entire focus is to make sure that our churches look appropriate for the Instagram aesthetic. And yet we're failing in the area of discipleship. Now, I am all about excellence. I'm not saying let everything slack to the side because planning is out the window. No. When I do a youth event, I want to make sure that everything lines up, everything looks good. Kids have to be picked up and dropped off at correct times. We're going to the right places. Everything that we do should be done with a level of excellence. You don't want people to feel like it's been thrown together because oftentimes that leads to bigger distractions, which lead people away from hearing the message that you're trying to get across. Excellence isn't bad, but what does become bad is when our focus is more on our image than the message in the Word of God itself. And when we hit that point, we realize that we started to cross a line that we shouldn't be crossing. In Acts 8, there's this incredible story of a guy named Philip, and Philip is running what would be considered a successful ministry or a successful campaign in Samaria. He's reaching people. He's preaching to them. He's probably seeing healings happen. There are crowds that are coming out. And in the midst of all of those crowds, God says to leave. In fact, not just to leave for another campaign or another village where there's going to be hundreds of more people. He's not having Philip leave for a bigger show and a bigger stage. He has him leave for a desert road. Now, can you imagine if Philip's response was, God, I ain't going to do this for less than like 1,000 views. God, do you see what I'm building here? I can't sacrifice that for a desert road. No. Philip was obedient. He went. And he ended up coming across one person, an Ethiopian eunuch, shared with him from the book of Isaiah that the eunuch was reading at the time. It was a total divine moment that God had set up, and this man was saved and transformed and baptized and then went and took the gospel to his people and to his country. But can you imagine if that was nowadays? Leave a successful crowd for one person. How many of us could say that we would actually be willing to do that? We spend so much time trying to grow the crowd. Imagine choosing to step away, yes, for obedience for God, but choosing to step away from all of that and having one person. Many of us would consider that a failure of a campaign, a failure of an opportunity. You only had one person that you ministered to. You only had one person that got saved and got baptized. Why would you leave it all? And yet he was obedient to God. If that happened nowadays, the truth is there's probably a lot of people that would have missed that encounter because it took them away from the crowd. It had them step away from their platform. Their image, they feel like, would have been ruined. And yet, that's what God asked for. Sometimes the most impactful moments in our ministry, the moments that we really reach someone in a deep way, are the moments that aren't posted on Instagram, are the moments that no one's capturing, are the moments when there's not huge crowds around us. But it doesn't take away from the importance and the transformation, just like it didn't take away from the importance and transformation of that Ethiopian eunuch. When I think about brand versus ministry, are we influencing or are we influencers? I go back to someone that poured into my life a lot, and that was my youth pastor growing up. He was at our church as a youth pastor, also sometimes juggling children's pastor and young adults pastor, but he was there for 25 years. We're not going to go into the statistical average of youth pastors staying in a church. 25 years. And maybe some of you are listening, you're like, hey, I cut that beat. And that is awesome. That is amazing. Praise God for your consistency. But for 25 years, he ran this youth ministry. Youth events, Bible studies, big Friday nights, worship nights, all that kind of stuff. And at times it was smaller. And for a really, really long time, it was probably one of the biggest youth ministries within the area. We grew leaps and bounds. And so fast forward to many years later, I'm running one of my first youth ministries, and we were seeing success, we were seeing growth, we were seeing transformation, and then leadership made some changes that started to make us drop students. And of course, they wanted to know why students were being dropped, and I was a little bit too shy to say some of the choices that were made. And so instead, I started researching how we grow and different things like that. And my focus, sadly, started becoming more about growth than about the gospel. But I remember calling up my youth pastor and reaching out to him, being like, hey, I need some growth tips. I need some growth advice. How in all the years you did it, did you get that youth group to grow so big, to have so many different discipleship groups, to have so many people inviting out others? How did we work on those numbers? And I'll never forget, and I'm going to butcher any quote, but the gist of what he said was this. If I'm being honest with you, Josh, I was never focused on numbers. I knew that I had a mission from God, and I wanted to see students, kids, young adults changed and transformed by the gospel. I wanted them to have a deep walk with God, and so I focused on that. I wanted them to have fun, and so I made sure we included some of those things, and some events were gospel-focused, and some were just fun-focused. As time went on, I knew that I wanted them to grow in their walk with God, and so I just started tying those things in together. But my focus was never about how we get the numbers, how big we are, or anything like that. My focus was on the different passions that God put within my heart. And what's crazy is when I just kept on following his passions, we grew. And at times we shrank. But for the most part, we just continued to grow, and my focus was never about how we grow, how we hold it. It was just staying true to what God called me to do. I mean, to me, probably wouldn't sell as many books, but that is what ministry should look like and summed up in just a few paragraphs. And God blessed it. To me, that's what healthy ministry looks like. It looks like obedience to God over the optics. Not that we run our image through the ground, but more importantly, are we obeying what God has called us to do? Are we obeying the word of God? And if so, that's great. But if our focus is on our image and on our looks, then we're missing the call. It's the message over the metrics. being faithful to the word of God and preaching and teaching. And as we read earlier in John, the truth is that while the gospel is transformational, it's also disruptive, it's also divisive. And so sometimes that truth is going to hurt, and sometimes that truth is going to be a bit divisive. But if we're focused on the metrics and the numbers and who's attending, then we will start to sugarcoat the gospel. And we need to make sure that we're sticking to the gospel first and foremost, not to the metrics. Health looks like us being shepherds instead of so many of us pastors trying to be influencers. Realizing that we have been entrusted by God to help lead others to Him, to cultivate their walk with Him. That is our first and foremost calling. Not to trend. Not to look good in the spotlight, not to make sure that everyone knows our name, but to shepherd those that He has brought to us, caring for the people that are right in front of you. And health also looks like remembering that the platform is a tool, not a treasure. Like I think about in a lot of those fantasy books when it comes to dragons. There are many different things about dragons, but like one of the ones that has always stood out to me is some of the stories about dragons were always about how they hoarded treasure. They didn't really need it, they just hoarded it and they held it to themselves, and it was about them and what they wanted. And that was part of the reason so many people ran into dragons in those stories, was because they were seeking after that treasure that the dragon was hoarding. But the dragon was so focused on that treasure and holding it in and just using it to glorify himself. And so many of us can be like that when it comes to the platforms that God has given us, whether it's on a Sunday morning, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or social media or wherever, whatever platform God has given us, some of us forget that it's a tool that He's given us to use to see the gospel spread and to see lives changed and transformed. Instead, we treat it like a treasure, and so we hoard it, and that platform becomes about us and not about God or the gospel. Health is remembering that it's a tool that God has given us. I mean, you look at Jesus throughout the New Testament, He was not a brand builder. I mean, at least in our culture terms. I mean, there were many people that turned away because they didn't like what He was saying. Instead, what Jesus focused on was preaching the truth and building disciples, and God took care of the rest. So what are some action steps that we can start making today to make sure that we're ministry focused, not brand focused, that we're influencing rather than being influencers? The first is this: start by auditing your motives. What is the motives behind what I'm doing? Like I said at the very, very beginning, but behind that video that you're doing, that new series, that new teaching, even that hangout with students or meeting up with people at their house, what is the motive behind it? One of the big things that I've said to any person that I'm interviewing for this podcast, as I'm spreading the word about this podcast and even building it, the thing that I kept on saying over and over and over again is, I realize that I am not an influencer. I realize I don't have a huge audience. I realize I'm not a household name. No one's really heard of me. And so I tell those people and myself, I'm doing this because I feel like God has called me to do it. And if one person watches this video and is changed and transformed through it, it will not spike on YouTube. It will not spike on Spotify. But if one person gets it, then God has had me do this for that one person, and I want to be faithful for that. My motive with this is not to get famous and make lots of money, because it probably ain't going to happen. But my motive is even for that one person. So what's the motive and what you're choosing to do? That action step is viewing that motive, auditing it, and saying, what is my reasoning behind doing this? What is my reasoning behind saying this? If it's for the right reasons, awesome. If it's to give myself publicity, to give myself more of a spotlight, then maybe that's a warning sign. The second action step is choosing people over posts. A lot of the places that I worked for, we didn't have a dedicated video team or a video team at all. I grew up doing video stuff. I grew up learning editing. And so I always slip into that mode a lot of times. I like to video edit, post things online, do recap videos. And for a lot of youth ministries, it builds hype. It builds excitement. For some churches, they loved it. But what I started realizing is there was a certain point where I was so focused on getting that recap video, and this would be the perfect shot during worship, and there's some people that are praying there, and that would be great. And I started missing those ministry moments for the sake of the shot. And I had to step away and get to a point where I realized I needed to be there for the people more than the video. Now, I realize that's a little bit different, but when it comes to the posts, are we caring more about the post or the people? Are we doing what we're doing for the posts, the views, the likes, or are we doing it for the congregation members that are there in front of us? Am I praying for them because I know that the camera's right there and they're going to focus on me? Or am I praying on them and for them because that is what God is leading me to do? Our focus needs to be on the people. Third is to let God set the metrics. I realize some of us may have different bosses and different expectations of what some of those metrics are. And I'm not saying throw those out the window, but I'm saying it's good to attain those things and go after those things and to have goals. Goals are important. But choose to let God set the actual metrics. If you're being faithful with your job and what you're supposed to do with the gospel and to Christ, then he will set those metrics and he will bless those metrics. It may not look like the church down the street. It may not look like anyone else in your denomination for better or for worse, but God is the one that is setting that metric. If you do a message for 100 and 2 show up, pour into those 2. That is who God has gifted you that day. They are your VIPs. They are the people that God wants you to pour into. It doesn't mean scrap that message. And believe me, I've been there before where I scrapped that message because I was like, no, this one is for a bigger audience. Maybe God had you work on that message and gave you the scriptures and the things to line up because those 2 people needed to hear it more than the 100. Allow God to set the metrics for you. And then the final thing. Evaluate your platform's purpose. What is your platform and what is the purpose behind it? I mean, I've always been a big advocate that, and I even told our students and our leaders at most of the youth ministries that I've worked in, if our youth ministry is all about fun and games, then we've missed our calling. Because the truth is, there are better social clubs out there. We are called to have fun, do some games, but more than that, to preach the message, to see our students saved and transformed, to disciple them into being fully committed followers of Jesus, to build those relationships with them and to show them discipleship in everyday life. Those are the purposes of our ministry. And in the same way, what is the platform that you have now? Maybe it's a literal platform on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Maybe it's a video series. Maybe it's on Instagram or on Facebook or on any level of social media. What is the platform that God has given you? Evaluate it. The purpose behind it. If you look back and realize that most of the platform is about promoting yourself, making money for yourself, ripping others down, tearing others apart, then maybe you've missed the call that God originally had for you when he set you up with that platform. Start evaluating it today to see, is this really where God wanted this platform to go? Is this really what God wanted and wants me to do with the tools that he has given me? Is it serving the gospel or is it just serving you? Now I realize, like, as you're listening to this, maybe there's a level of conviction. Maybe there's a level of, I realize what I've been doing. And sometimes as a knee-jerk reaction, our response is to destroy everything. I remember back in the day when I was like, I shouldn't listen to this song because this song was bad. And so I threw out every single CD that I had and before that tape cassette that I had. And then a few years later, I was like, but the other songs were still good. Some of those songs were still Christian. Some of those songs were, and I got rid of my entire collection. Some of us, our knee-jerk reaction is when we realize, man, I've lost the purpose of what I was doing. I lost the purpose of my platform. I lost the purpose behind these different tools and these opportunities that God has given me. And so some of you will want to go and delete your entire Instagram. Don't do that. Some of you guys will want to change your entire programming. Don't do that. Don't make any knee-jerk reactions, but first and foremost, start submitting yourself, the purpose, and your platform under God's lordship. saying, God, okay, you know what? I've gotten distracted. I focus more on myself than on the ministry that you have put before me. And so because of that, God, I submit it back to you. Where's the direction you want to take this? Where's the direction you want to take me? Sometimes it's using the same mic, the same camera, the same platform, the same Instagram account, and instead just repurposing it back to the original purpose that was set out. Not focused on the brand, but focused on the gospel. So the truth is, any of those things can be powerful tools when we choose to use it in the right way. Choosing to allow ourselves to refocus on what really matters and what God originally called us to. But the biggest question that we have to ask ourselves is, whose hands is this in? Whose hands is this podcast in? If it's in Josh's hands, it's going to fail and it's going to fall. And if it's in God's hands, then it'll be successful. Maybe not according to the world's metrics, but according to God's metrics. But I've given it over to him, and I want to challenge you to start by going right back to the very beginning, by giving it all back to him and saying, God, what is it you want me to do with this? My life, my purpose, my dream, my plans, they're in your hands. Use me, God. You know, as we talk about our reach and those that we're influencing and spreading the gospel, one of the verses that has always stuck out to me, at least when we talk about this topic, but even sometimes beyond that, to remember the witness that we're setting, comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, and it says this: "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." We are Christ's ambassadors. In everything that we do, are we filtering the choices that we make, the things that we post, the influence that we're trying to make through that lens, that I am first and foremost Christ's ambassador, and so everything that I do needs to be done through the filter of doing it first and foremost for his glory, for his praise, and to lead others to him. More than anything, if we look at the word of God, we are called not to be marketers, not to be salesmen, but we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Because the truth is that even the best brands, they end up fading away. No matter how long that they are around, there will come a point in time where they don't matter anymore, where they're forgotten about. But the kingdom will never fade. What is our focus? What is our platform? And how are we using it? I know it's kind of a unique topic, and maybe some of you, you're like, I have no platform at all. And if that's the case, hey, you're a step ahead of some of these people. You don't have to reset. You get to as you step out into this, plan it out. But I hope that there was something today that you walked away with that maybe God was using to correct or redirect, or maybe something that you just said, hey, you know what? More than anything, this birthed a new idea or a new thing that I feel like God is leading me to do. And if so, that is awesome. Do me a favor. If something stood out in this podcast, leave a comment. Like, subscribe, of course, but leave a comment. I would love to hear what really jumped out at you or what you walked away with. Maybe it was nothing at all about what we talked about today. I love it when God does that. Like, we're listening to one thing and yet God is sparking something else within us. But if there was anything that stood out to you, or you know someone else that maybe is going through this, they're needing to redirect their focus, they're needing to change things, then do me a favor and share this video with someone that you care about that's kind of going through that. Now, next week, we're going to dive into a very real and, for many, a very relevant topic, and that is how we deal with betrayal and loss when it comes in the ministry. The times where leaders let us down. The times where trust is broken, the times where we're pulling that knife out of our back with the people that we thought we were the closest to. We're not just going to focus on the pain of that betrayal and loss, but instead we're going to look at how through those things that we have been through, God can still help us lead, and not only that, but lead well, and how he can take those things, the betrayal and the loss and the lack of trust that we have experienced, and instead strengthen us through it and use it for his glory. It's going to be a powerful episode. I think it's something that a lot of us have dealt with at some point in the ministry, and sadly, if you haven't, there may be a good chance you will. And so it's a topic that I think it's great for us to unpack, talk about, and see how even in the midst of those moments where the ground beneath us fell away, that God was still there to strengthen, hold us, and use those things for his glory in our ministries. It's one that I don't want you to miss. So until then, I challenge you, what is the purpose behind the platform that you're on? Use it for God's glory to see a world changed and transformed as we work together to go beyond the numbers.